The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan. Hello and welcome to this Right Stand podcast. I'm Anand Narasimhan. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we spent the first debate or the first half of the Right Stand on looking forward and building up to the Trump visit to India. There is a lot that's been doing the news and doing the rounds, plenty of fake news and fake claims that are also doing the rounds, and many people, especially the opposition, asking why is India bending over backwards for Trump. Perhaps this is the first time that we are seeing in a long time that government, especially the Indian government, is not treating it as just as a formal event, but it is going beyond mere formalities to make it's special for powerful world leaders. No matter what people think about Donald Trump, he represents one of the most powerful nations in the world. He is the world's most powerful president, and few match up to the stature that America holds in the world political discourse. And that is the heft that America carries. India needs America on its side at various levels, and of course the regional dynamics. People forget that even before Donald Trump or any American president, Xi Jinping was given a royal welcome in and he spent time in Ahmedabad. At that time, there were many people making jokes, but the fact of the matter is that India's equations with China have become better. There are other geopolitical reasons and China's own interests, but we have also seen China back off vis-a-vis its equations with Pakistan, especially the abrogation of Article 370 and China refusing to toe or Pakistan's line on the same was a big, big development. Also, easing of tensions at the border, reduction of the border skirmishes between India and China, and being able to stare down what happened as far as Doklam and getting China to back off there. These are all serious considerations that India needs to have. And of course, India is a very, very attractive market for the Americans, given what is happening in China, albeit the recession and the downturn, and of course the shutdown or the lockdown virtually of about 15 to 18 Chinese top cities and a lot of its manufacturing and its businesses because of the coronavirus spread and scare. Amid all of this, it is also Trump's irritation that is seen when he's trying to up the challenge to India, saying how many people can turn up to receive me and how much does India want America. That's what he's making it about when he says 7 million, 10 million, and people may joke. But perhaps it is also Donald Trump trying to fire up India and say, let's see how much India wants America or needs America. And that's why I'm looking at the number of people who come to receive me. India, for us, whoever is a big guest or whoever is a guest is always welcome as long as they come with an open and warm heart and with no malefied intent. But more importantly, India has also been able to stave off America. India has also been able to stand up to America. India has also been able to say, yes, we want great equations. Yes, we will do defense deals with you. Yes, but we are not going to compromise on the interest of our small traders. That is why perhaps out of the 28 requirements, one of the requirements was to allow e-commerce giants and a free entry into the Indian market, but India saying not at the cost or not while compromising the interest of the small business traders and the small traders here in our country. So there has to be a via media. Of course, the second part being data sharing, and this is again India said that no, we are unwilling to relent, and conditions like these which hamper India's own integrity, sovereignty, and of course its stature, and harm Indian businesses and locals are something which India has been very, very clear on, and that is the reason why, as far as trade and tariffs, America has also had a hard time. And of course, India is willing to work that around. 25 out of 28 issues, there has been a compromise or there has been an agreement that has been reached between the two nations. Three sticking points continue to remain, and India is unwilling to budge. And this is significant given the fact that India has been able to keep America on its side despite not bending over backwards as far as its trade deals and its conditions are concerned. There has been partnerships, there have been defense deals, and India is also an attractive market. America needs India given the recent geopolitical shifts and changes and India's stature as a thriving and a strong economy. When most of the countries across the world are seeing zero growth or negative growth, India continues to grow, albeit slowly, but yes, it continues to grow and it is an attractive market. Where all these aspects we will discuss, what can India get out of this? And beyond this, the two nations and their equations, The personal bonhomie between Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Donald Trump, how important is it? How much is Trump going to use the turnout, the popularity, and the scale of what he gets here in India as far as reception and his address at the Motera Stadium back home to his constituents to try and seek, because he is seeking a second term and the elections are not far away. We are already towards the end of February, knocking at the doors of March, and the elections are in November this year. So he is seeking a second term, and he would want to see how much of the influence his India trip will wield with a very, very influential and economically upwardly mobile Indian diaspora. Around 3.5 million, not a big chunk as far as a vote share or a voter base is concerned, but the Indian diaspora in the past has largely voted or swung Democrat. So for them to move Republic or to swing Trump's way, especially with election funds and donations and, of course, the influence that they wield economically and within society across forums and strata, that is what Trump will want to cash in. But India is not going to do that for free. India is going to say, come, look at our demographic dividend, welcome, enjoy our culture, enjoy our heritage, understand what we all have, what we stand as a people. And of course, they will also realize the might of the Indian democracy and the number of people who back Prime Minister Narendra Modi because of the mandate. See, Trump is also going to see the mandate with which PM Modi came back. From 282 to 303, it's very rare that while seeking a second term, you come back stronger. Trump will want to learn a few lessons and also see how he can replicate Prime Minister Narendra Modi's success politically for himself. So beyond all that talk, both are very, very shrewd, both are very, very smart. They've been able to strike great equations, but it remains to be seen what the net takeouts will be. We'll have a host of experts who will have their own points of view. It'll be an interesting debate and a discussion to join in then. Debate number two is around what has transpired over the last 24 to 48 hours with Waris Pathan of the AIMIM and his video going viral, and the chants of Pakistan Zindabad startling and Asaduddin Owaisi when he was addressing a rally in Bengaluru. The question is that, yes, we accept, and of course I have seen in the past that Waris Pathan and the AIMM have been very, very fiercely patriotic and against a pro-Pakistan or a Pakistan narrative. And they have always continuously maintained that position, trying to de-link Indian Muslims from Pakistan Muslims and the discourse within India vis-a-vis Pakistan and any effort to draw parallels to all of that. But internally, the issue is that their brand of politics is brazenly divisive and communal. Yes, the BJP and the ruling disposition and many leaders within the BJP are blamed to be Islamophobic or divisive in their tone, in their kind of politics. But if an Anurag Thakur's Goli Maro Gaddaro Ko can be rebuked and be criticized outright, and there can be so much of a national outrage, why is this 15 crore versus 100 crore not condemnable? Isn't it a far greater and far more brazen attempt at polarizing and dividing communities and dividing India right within? That's the bigger question, and that's what we will try and debate. Because Prime Minister Narendra Modi has been very clear as far as the government's policies and his own policy and his own motto, Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas. And this time around he said Sabka Vishwas. That means he wants to work together with India as a collective. The RSS has made such a huge shift as far as its own version, its own understanding and its own philosophy, where they hailed Gandhi first, and then they also came out and defined their brand, or when they term Hindu, not as somebody who follows a particular religion as in Sanatana Dharma or Hindu Dharma, but those who belong to India, who have their roots in India, who have historically, who can trace their lineage a few generations back into centuries to India. So they are people who have been born in India, and irrespective of what religion, what part or Bharatiya Mool, like they say, their lineage and their roots are from India, and irrespective of what religion they follow, they're all Hindus because they live in this land. That has been the RSS's interpretation, which many people are willing to buy and many people don't buy. But even there, nowhere have you seen from the so-called brand Hindutva or the Hindutva Brigade. No one has ever singled out and broken these numbers in absolute, saying 100 crores versus 15 crores. Yes, they may have been statements and which have been rightly condemned by all. But here, with Waris Pathan,
there seems to be a certain amount of reluctance. There seems certain parties, certain voices coming out and trying to defend what he's trying to say. That cannot be possible. And more importantly, AIMIM's brand of politics is brazenly communal because they are batting only for one particular group, one particular community. That cannot be a secular brand of politics. We'll debate that at length with our panelists tonight at 8:45 p.m. Do join me this Friday evening. Bye for now.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.